that first night is the mythology behind it is it's supposed to stop the kind of drunken rioting that happened New Year's Eve 1993-94.
Right.
And of course that was not, you know, that was prompted by Lieutenant Sapone then. I know she was Sergeant Sapone then, but she actually moved in early with her riot squad to start hitting the knuckles of people with her batons at the town clock at 12:10 when the clock didn't officially close as a gathering point until 1 o'clock. And then she herded everybody downtown where they broke windows. And as far as I know, she's never had any disciplinary consequences to pay for that that we know.
Oh, on the contrary, you know, if you're an officer on the Santa Cruz Police Force and you shoot or beat or kill, that's an instant promotion on this force. That's, you know, you're not going to get reprimanded for that. They get promoted for that.
You know, it's interesting that has happened. At least I don't know if Connor Carey hasn't been promoted in terms of he hasn't become a sergeant, but I think I heard something about his getting a different detail. Did you know anything about that? Whether he got a change in detail from several years ago?
He's one of the officers in charge of the alcohol task force now, and he's one of the officers who sets up the stings for.
Now, is that a higher position in some sense? Is it more money per hour? Or?
That's a good question. That I don't know.
I know that one of the things that concerned me, before I get into that, I was going to talk about the amount of money that was expended, the amount of money that went to the merchants, and the amount of police overtime, huge amounts of overtime that happened. But,
right.
But again, the origins of First Night lie in this idea of making it an alcohol-free kind of thing. And I wonder, what was First Night alcohol-free? I went home about 8:30. I didn't notice a lot of drinking. Did you notice a lot of middle-class drinking?
I noticed a ton of middle-class drinking. In fact, it was interesting. There was a group of young women, you know, dressed festively. They were wearing probably shorter skirts. They're beautiful women walking down the street.
Get over it, Bob.
Two of them stumbled right in front of the cops and did nothing about it. Whereas, you know, earlier that day we were witnessing just people standing on the street being rounded up.
Who were homeless looking.
So there was definitely a classist approach that was happening that night. And closer to midnight, everybody was drunk down there. You know, it was
really?
You know, it was 2000.
This was an alcohol-free event.
No.
Come on now.
No.
Our city mothers and fathers have assured us that this is a way to avoid. Lieutenant Sapone is going bananas and forcing everybody downtown so they break windows.
That's nice if people want to believe that it was an alcohol-free event, but that's just ridiculous.
Did you see a lot of other police jurisdictions out on the street?
Yeah, definitely. We saw people from state parks, from the fire department, from Watsonville Police Department, Scotts Valley Police Department. Well, those are the major jurisdictions that I witnessed. I'm trying to remember if there's anybody else.
You said that it was largely violence-free as far as you could tell, but of course the problem you had was that you didn't. Usually, when a violent incident happens, there's sort of it takes a little time. And
right.
People can come to the scene. There are witnesses to observe. I imagine all that was much more difficult on New Year's Eve, first because there was such a crunch of people and people going from one direction to another, and second because you say police acted so quickly because there were so many of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, in a way you might say, well, more police in some way may in fact cut down on the amount of violence. But unfortunately there is a trade-off there. And the trade-off has to do with the question of whether you want a police state, whether you want a police officer in every corner, whether you want to have, as you know, they say that one way to stop, for example, drinking is to, you know, cut off a person's hand if they drink. In Saudi Arabia, they have severe laws about drinking, and I think, you know, maybe it's true upper-class people drink in private. There ain't too much drinking on the streets in
right.
Saudi Arabia, I've heard. And so if you really want to institute a real police state, you can, in fact, deal with things like, I guess, the drug war. But the question is, do you want to do that? And I guess my answer has always been no way.
Right.
Bob, I appreciate your calling in. For folks who want to be a part of Cop Watch, you want to talk a little bit about it and how they can join up?
Well, certainly. I encourage them to come down and spend a meeting with us. We meet every Wednesday night at the Rhizone Info Shop, which is on Walnut Street. I forget the number. Was it?
It's 224.
224.
Mm-hmm. 224 Walnut.
So we meet from 7:30 or was it? Yeah, 7:30 to 9, approximately 9:30. So come on down. We'll tell you about what's going on and what our initiatives are this year. And we're really excited about providing this necessary component to the community.
Is there a phone number people can call to get more
information? Not yet. We're still working on securing the number, but if we do have an email account. If somebody wants some information, they can send us an email at copwatchsantacruz@hotmail.com. That's all lowercase, no spaces. So,
copwatchsantacruz@hotmail.com.
Yeah, that's a great way to get in touch with us.
Well, excellent, Bob. I appreciate the update. Anything you want to add or improve?
No, we're organizing this year to help make the Santa Cruz Police Force a kinder and gentler one, if that's possible. We're also looking to educate the public on the Know Your Rights campaign, so be looking for us. We have different educational materials produced by the American Civil Liberties Association there, the ACLU. And we have a lot of time to listen to people who want to document abuses that happen to them. So I think that's really important. We're trying to build a portfolio of various abuses that are happening from different officers on the force, and we need everybody's help on that. Hopefully we'll be getting our own phone line soon. We'll keep you updated.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks a lot, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
And as usual, we are running up against time. We have about half an hour left in Bathrobe's Pier's Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrobe's Pier Robert Norse, and we're going to quickly give you an update on the Homeless Issues Task Force after this phone call.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Hi. I don't know what happened, but during that interview with stuff from Bob, the signal just totally dropped out.
Wow. So we're not going out?
Well, we are now. I don't understand it. It was really weird. I know it's not my Walkman's batteries because I hear myself talking now, but I don't know what happened.
Very strange. Nothing happened here in the studio of any note. It was just
Was the needle swinging when you were talking to him?
It was a little low, but he was very loud on the phone. So.
Yeah, he was loud, and then you were really low, and now then it just dropped out altogether. That was weird.
Well, you get.
I don't know what happened. I'm hearing it now, so I guess everything's okay.
You get to hear our station in operation here, folks. This is a people's station. Can you dig it?
All right. Well, I guess I'll let you get to that. Whatever it was you're getting to.
I will.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Vinny.
Our 24-hour technicians never rest and frequently get arrested, but that's another story. Phone number for Free Radio Santa Cruz is 427-3772. Briefly about the Homeless Issues Task Force. This is the group that unanimously recommended at its last, its early December meeting on December 6th, that City Council realized that only 20% of the homeless people are sheltered at best in the winter, that there's been violence, that there has been six homeless deaths, that there has been declared shelter emergencies have been ignored, and that resolution after resolution has been ignored from the Homeless Issues Task Force itself to the City Council. So they asked City Council to suspend the sleeping and camping bans, the laws that make it illegal to shelter yourself, to put up a tent, the laws that make it illegal to sleep at night, until such time as City Council sets up safe sleeping zones. And they realized that there probably wasn't a majority on City Council to pass this, but they felt it was so important that they wanted Keith Sugar, the new mayor, to put it on the agenda just so it could be talked about. Just so that the community could come to some understanding of what was going on. Even if he was voted down, the community would be educated, and those who voted against it would in essence be shamed. And the community could then start responding and letting the council know its wishes on this. Unfortunately, Mayor Sugar chose another path. Though he came to the first Homeless Issues Task Force meeting to sort of schmooze with the folks at the meeting as the new mayor, and said, bring stuff to me. The next day, when the Homeless Issues Task Force brought their unanimous recommendation on December 7th to his office, he simply closed the door on any discussion of the sleeping ban, on any possibility of putting it on the agenda. And in fact, he closed down discussion of that until November 2000. In essence, he said, I don't want this to be talked about until November 2000 because I don't have the votes. Now, They told him, I believe, the representatives who came and spoke to him, at least they said this at the meeting the day before, that they knew that Sugar didn't necessarily have the votes, but what he did have was the power of the mayorship. He did have the power to agendize items. He did have the power to speak to the community from a position of some authority and some responsibility. And also, as a man who had worked on the issue with some experience the winter before, he refused to do all of these things. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I just wanted to say briefly, Robert, you're kidding.
I'm sorry?
You're joking.
Tell me. I'm joking about what, Bob?
That you would seriously consider that the entrenched power in Santa Cruz is going to rock the boat on the sleeping ban.
Well,
I find that amazing, and I've said this before.
Right, well,
I think
that I'm not the only one who thought this way. There were 10 members of the Homeless Issues Task Force that wanted Sugar to do this.
It is so predictable, this whole spin-out
right. On
this particular issue.
But as you know, it's a human rights issue.
And
we have to press it.
You're just now saying you heard from Mr. Sugar that this is not going to come up again by his...
Well, no, he didn't tell me that. Sugar doesn't talk to me, but that's what I heard secondhand, yes.
November 2000.
Right.
So... In essence, what was done was it was put off until it might become an election issue.
Well, or as I put it in the article I wrote for Street Spirit, maybe they can sleep next November.
So I just wanted to say that my you're kidding. I mean that this would actually that the elected leadership in Santa Cruz would actually take a position on this issue other than that things should remain the same.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You bet.
And, of course, Bob's skepticism is quite appropriate. The reason that we thought, the reason that Sugar and Crone were approached, and particularly Sugar, is one, he was the mayor, and there had been a change in the power structure insofar as he had become mayor, supplanting the old mayor, Sleeping Ban Byers, as we called her, because she was the key vote a year ago that killed any real change in the sleeping ban. And Sugar himself a year ago had made a proposal that there be no ticketing unless there's a health and safety concern. And, of course, when Byers and Rotkin and Barisoni, the city attorney, struck him down on that, he kind of retired into his chambers like a wounded kitty and didn't come out. But as mayor, we felt he had the responsibility to speak on it. Indeed, that is why the Homeless Issues Task Force came forward and asked him to speak.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
And, oh, we wish he would speak about the sleeping ban. I wanted to talk about the homeless deaths you mentioned earlier, and by the way, it was a vast undercount. You said 6 homeless deaths.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have the list.
Well, there were 6 in 3 months, is what I was saying.
There were actually closer to 12 from the time when the first meeting was held at the Homeless Issues Task Force until the end of 99, there were 12 homeless deaths.
That's new to me.
In fact, we have the list that just recently came out on December 21st with the Homeless Services Center, which had compiled a list with some help from Huff and the Santa Cruz County Coroner's Office. And that list has 18 deaths, considerably up from the average 10 or 12 a year that's been reported by the Santa Cruz County Coroner.
So there have been 18 deaths since January 1999, and you say there have been 12 deaths since August of 99?
Right.
Wow. I had heard that there was 5 deaths and then 6 between September and December, and I don't disbelieve you. I just haven't heard this.
And the latest death, of course, which took place the day before Christmas Eve, up on the armory floor, was Will Rush, died age 57 and of an apparent heart attack.
Or just being homeless, you might say. A lot of that, the pressures of being homeless, of course, you know, everything starts to go. You have to walk around an incredible amount. You're much more subject to disorders of the feet and legs, and not to mention hypothermia and, of course, the other coincident problems that develop. But, did you want to... I was kind of giving this update on the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Well, I think that the emergency resolution that came out of the Homeless Issues Task Force to suspend the sleeping and camping ban until safe zones can be established, that the reason that they considered an emergency was because of the lack of shelter, because of the homeless beatings, and because there was a sharp rise in homeless deaths.
Definitely. No
Thanks.
Question. Sure.
And again, continuing this this saga of what happened, on December 6th, this resolution unanimously passed the Homeless Issues Task Force, including the vote of Peter Eberle, who is the head of the Downtown Association. And I was dumbfounded at this and very impressed at the same time, and I don't know, you know, what this means for his tenure on the Downtown Association. I still don't know. I think he takes definitely a much more conservative view, and why he voted on this issue that way, I don't know. But it was a unanimous vote. Suspend the sleeping and camping ordinances until safe zones can be set up. Have the mayor immediately respond to this and put it on the agenda. So Chair Linda LeMaster and several members of the committee went and met with Sugar. He refused to do it. And then Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and other members of the Homeless Issues Task Force began to call in. And we spoke, some of us, to Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which just come back, some of them from Seattle, and urged them to call the city council, since maybe if the council wouldn't listen to us, or Sugar wouldn't listen to us, Mayor Sugar, that they would listen to those older women who, and their wisdom and their own perspective, which they're closer politically to the council than many of us are. And indeed, apparently, this is a flood of calls, and Sugar apparently, according to David Sobel, told him there were hundreds of calls, and which I'm impressed with that. Sugar then held an emergency meeting on Sunday night, kind of a secret surprise meeting, and as it's been called by Becky Johnson, who heard about it and got to it, even though she wasn't invited to it, took extensive minutes at it. And at that meeting, Crone and Sugar were there for most of the meeting, and then Fitzmaurice showed up at the end. And I guess some of the what I call the kitchen cabinet of Sugar, which included Fred Geiger, Susan Martinez, Ed Porter, and some members of the Homeless Issues Task Force, including Linda LeMaster, were there. And Sherry Connable, I believe, was at that meeting as well. And essentially, Sugar was told that by at least half the people in the room, and I've done a very careful study of that, even though Fred Geiger, who may be listening to this show, takes issue with my figures, half of them said, put this item on the agenda, suspending the sleeping and camping ordinances, as even just a moral issue, if nothing else, including Bernice Belton, an old stalwart of SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network. And Sugar just said, no, I won't do it. But what I will do is I'll respond to oral communications issues. And yet, of course, when oral communications came around 2 days later, because this meeting took place on the Sunday before the last council meeting in December, he said nothing. And no other council member said anything either. It has to also be said that there was a lot of pressure on the Homeless Issues Task Force of different sorts. One member of the task force, who since, as I understand, has resigned, was running around telling people not to present this at city council because she didn't like some of the people who were doing the presenting and she didn't think it had been authorized. It had, in fact, been agreed to several sessions before that oral communications was an appropriate place to bring up this issue. And since it was an emergency, there was no other place to bring it up. And indeed, it was brought up in somewhat haphazard and fashion, but still, Sugar not only didn't respond to it, he cut me short at least three occasions on homeless issues, completely refused to hear oral communications from myself and Dan Hopkins, and misinformed Roxana Kistapache on issues of Dolphin Lee when that came up at the council. Dolphin Lee is an issue we're going to be talking about next. We did begin to talk about it last time, and I'm hoping we can get a call or two from folks who are interested in the issue. Dolphin Lee is a two apartment complexes in the Beach Flats, Dolphin and Lee Apartments, which have been targeted by Mayor Byers for demolition and rehabilitation, rebuilding a $5 million project, which will essentially eradicate the people who are living there now in terms of their inhabiting those complexes and put in a new, probably less Hispanic, more upscale set of individuals who can't afford who can afford the increased rents. And Roxana Kistapache, who's an activist down there, along with Phil Baer and others, have brought out repeatedly that there are other ways of getting affordable housing than giving a huge chunk of money to Mercy Housing, evicting a whole bunch of people, hundreds, literally hundreds of Hispanic people who are in a tight-knit family. And we heard Phil Baer talk about this last time. And then essentially giving them relocation money that won't pay for their housing in Santa Cruz. They can't possibly pay for their housing in Santa Cruz. It's essentially something that we've recognized for a year, and we thought was it was part of the kind of the original plan, do the similar kind of relocation sleight of hand with the beach plan, the beach redevelopment, Third Street realignment plan. And that one got kicked in the ass by the voters down the road. Now it's come up again, this time with the sponsorship of Mayor Byers, and also apparently votes from Sugar and Crone. And the another thing that's upset a lot of us is a lot of this has happened in closed session. That is to say, not really in closed session, that's not accurate, in with a kind of a closed process. There's been no real public debate on Dolphin Lee versus other alternatives, either at SCAN, in its meetings, or in the city council. And people have been warning, Phil Baer notably, Scott Graham as well, activists who are not, you know, well, they're closer to the city council than I am, but they're not so close that they're wrapped up in a tautological embrace so that they can't say anything but wait till next November when we get a majority and we'll start talking. These men at least are talking now. They have made it, you know, they've been warning that the council is not using a public process. And by the council, we don't just mean the evil Mike Rotkin and the nasty Michael Hernandez, who it's okay to boo at, you know, because you have the new council majority, supposedly. We're talking about the council majority. Fitzmaurice, Crone, Sugar, and Byers, who are ramming this sucker down Santa Cruz's throat. The last council meeting, it was a $54,000 appropriation that went for this this thing. And they are not giving it much public process. That seems to be the bottom line. And I'm hoping we can get a phone call or two on this issue. I also want to mention, however, before we run out of time, just quickly, there is a Parks and Rec Commission meeting for the city tomorrow at 4 o'clock at City Council Chambers. That's where City Hall City Council meetings usually are. It'll be happening at 4 o'clock. And involved in that meeting, you can come and talk about opening up the parks to for homeless people if you'd like. That certainly should be an alternative that the parks are used for in winter. If there's no safe or legal places to sleep, that can be done at Oral Communications, which is the beginning of the agenda. You can also talk about the Poganip Clubhouse Rehabilitation Plan, where they're spending tens of thousands of dollars to rehabilitate the Poganip Clubhouse. But nary, and how much money are they spending for low-income people in the parks? You know, not much. Then you can. They're also discussing the annual budget tomorrow, and there's an appeal to the Loudon Nelson Hallway Gallery. This is a question of censoring the paintings that are in the gallery, and you probably read about this in the Sentinel. It's an issue that I haven't followed very closely, but it may be of interest, and they're putting it on the agenda for a half an hour discussion. After that, there's a heritage tree permit for all of you environmental buffs. And apparently there's a revision of the Heritage Tree Ordinance, and then the San Lorenzo River has a task force update. So you might want to check that out. That's Parks and Rec Commission tomorrow, City Hall at 4 o'clock. City Council has a special meeting on January 4th. No, this is not a special meeting about the homeless, as we have asked the council to do. And indeed, various members went to City Council and asked them to, we also asked Sugar to put this item on as an emergency agenda item. Since he refused to do it as a regular agenda item, we asked him to try to get the 5 votes to put it on as an emergency item back on the 14th, even after Oral Communications. And even if he couldn't do it, at least he could raise it as an issue. He could make the public aware that it's something he wanted done, that he felt had to be done. He was being stopped by the rest of the council. But no, he wouldn't do that. And so now we've asked Sugar, and you've heard this on my show, to call a special session. That's the kind of session that, for example, they are calling, but not for homelessness, of course, on January 4th, 2 days from today. That's on Tuesday. On Tuesday at 7 o'clock, there will be a special session. They're going to hear an appeal of a zoning board parcel. Mr. Crocker is the owner of that. They're going to hear a genetic modification labeling controversy. There's going to be a budget adjustment on the Washington Street property. All of which have nothing to do, of course, with homelessness, and they haven't even put on the agenda what their own $10,000 Homeless Issues Task Force asked them to put on. Sugar is bankrupt at this point, as far as I'm concerned. And I'd like to hear from any members of the public on this. We, as usual, are up against the wire. I don't know why I can't budget my time better on the show, but I'm stuck with that. I'm going to try to put through a quick call to Fred Geiger, who is perhaps he can give me a call. It's be easier and quicker, Fred, if you're listening on the radio, 427-3772. That's the phone number here in the studio in case you're at the radio and listening in. We'll give you a few seconds to see if you're going to be responding to that. And if not, we'll try and give you a call. Maybe that's the best thing to do. I'll try and give Fred a call here. And we'll see what we get here. Yep, got a busy signal. I think he's trying to call us. We'll let you call us. We'll wait on that one. A couple of other things that we're going to try to dash through quickly. A lot of hype in the Sentinel, of course, as usual, about the New Year's Eve and the terrorist threat, and I've talked about that. The phony celebration that happens around New Year's, but the real issues, of course, don't get talked about. And they don't get talked about during the old year either, as we saw. Sugar wouldn't talk about the old issue. Now, on the 11th, there's supposed to be the Homeless Issues Task Force report coming up. And that's the midterm report. And that's going to be a whole bunch of stuff, and no doubt there'll be a small amount of time apportioned to that. But the real issue, which was an emergency action, which the Homeless Issues Task Force unanimously voted, this city council showed where it was at. They didn't even have the courage to talk about it. It's a disgrace. I mean, that's all I can say. And the sad thing that I saw that was the follow-up on this was that the Homeless Issues Task Force, instead of responding to this at its last meeting by holding a press conference or planning a protest or resigning, which I think is what they should do, because if they're not going to be taken seriously, if their matters aren't being put on the agenda, if they're going to be sidelined and a backroom to death, they need to stand up publicly for the constituency that they're supposedly working for, the homeless community in Santa Cruz, and speak out. And that's the best thing they can do. That kind of embarrassment is what the council needs to hear. That kind of the strong message is what the community needs to hear, and then, of course, the community needs to contact the council. So I encourage you to give a call to the council at 420-5020, 420-5020, and that you should ask them to call a special session, suspend the sleeping and camping ordinance, suspending safe zones, or give us another solution for people who are out there. If you don't want to do that, do something else, but do something. And I am still getting a busy. I hope that Fred hasn't taken his phone off the hook. Boy, that would be embarrassing. I'll assume not. Fred's a very articulate fellow. Don't always agree with him on the issues, but he presents a very, very well-reasoned, often moderate series of proposals. And when we've spoken, I guess I'm going to have to kind of put this forward. Fred suggested that what's needed is a very specific proposal for parking structures to be opened up to the homeless and campground, perhaps, and that should be on the agenda at the very latest by first session in February, the last session in January, because the armory will close, and when the armory closes, there's a 95% of the homeless instead of 80% of the homeless are out of luck and criminalized at night if the police choose to ticket them, and they can harass them at will and often do. Of course, the problem there is, this is the same thing as last year, why one should wait and wait and wait. And the argument that was used that Fred suggested to me the other day was, well, they can always say that there's a space or two at the armory left and therefore they don't have to take any action. No, that whole thing has been discredited by the Homeless Issues Task Force, and it's also been discredited by the task force to examine the camping ordinance, which Crone, Sugar, and Byers headed last winter. I think the real problem is that Fred and his constituents are afraid to put pressure on the city council, and specifically on Sugar and Byers and Fitzmaurice and Crone, because they see it as some sort of political issue instead of being a human rights issue. If it's a human rights issue, it's something you press to do because it's right, not as to whether, and this is something David Silva, I think, really rightfully pointed out, not because you're expending political capital if you do it. You know, no, you're not expending political capital to try to do the right thing. It's an issue of moral principle, that you don't arrest people for sleeping, that you don't make women outside more vulnerable, as the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women has officially told the city council back in February why they supported ending the sleeping ban, was because it makes it unsafer for women outside, because they can't sleep in groups, they can't sleep in well-lit areas, they can't sleep where The police can more easily patrol because they have to worry about camping tickets and camping warrants. And, of course, complete police disinterest in beatings, as we found was the case in the beating of the man named Carl when he was beaten out on Mission Street 7-Eleven in late November. He called the police, and they arrested him and took him to jail because he was drunk. They wouldn't take a report even though he was bleeding, even though his assailants were nearby, and they released him at 1:30 into the pouring rain from the jail onto the sidewalk. So these kinds of obscenities are what we are forced to contend with. And my thought has always been there has to be a community response since the council refuses to respond. And I'm talking about a response from not just people who are sympathetic with homeless people, but hey, all you renters out there. I mean, are you enjoying these high rents? Are you enjoying the council indifference to the issue of rent control, to the issue of speculation? Are you just going to sit there while they kind of move you out of town? I mean, are you going to just sort of wait until you get sick, until you end up on the streets in a car and then get arrested for sleeping and have your vehicle towed? That happens, you know. It doesn't necessarily happen in every case, but it creates a climate of fear. It creates a climate of kind of a police state, because the police can determine who they want to do that to. And it just puts you in a position where you lose a lot of your dignity as a human being. And you, even if you're not homeless, you have to become afraid of being homeless. So it's a real question. I'm going to try old Fred again, see if we can get through on the line here. No. Since Fred's been informed that we're trying to reach him, I guess I have to assume that maybe there's an important call that's come in on his phone, or possibly he doesn't want to talk on this issue at this time. And indeed, if I were close to Cronin Sugar, I might be embarrassed, too, about the issue. I'll tell you, if the politicians I supported at the last election were doing to homeless people... Wait a minute, there's an incoming call. Will I have to eat my words? Nope, the caller hung up. I really want to apologize. Another call coming in. And again, a hang-up. I want to apologize to those trying to reach the show so late, because we don't really have the time. I'm going to have to run in about 4 minutes. The show does return on Thursday at 6 o'clock, and the city council meeting, as I mentioned before, there is going to be the city council meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. It does not have an oral communications period, however, so if you want to speak to the council, you have to talk on the items on the agenda, and it looks like there are three of them on the agenda. Property resolution adopting a negative declaration, a zoning board parcel business, which I can't make heads or tails of, genetic engineering stuff, which I guess makes more sense to me. I followed that. And something about property assembly in the Washington Street Pacific Area Wharf intersection, $25,000, connection with the multimodal public park and museum project. But that doesn't mean you can't come with a sleeping bag or a sign, if you're so inclined. And I don't know what the best way to deal with this issue is, you know. I think we probably need the kind of action that Seattle got back in November and December, because I say, if a fifth of the Santa Cruz activists who went to Seattle were willing to do the same thing here in Santa Cruz for the sleeping ban, to restore human rights to homeless people, we would see some very significant action by city council. And we would see some significant press coverage on the issue as well. Well, I am going to get ready to leave, even though it looks like my next talk show host, the Little Red Hen, has not yet made it to the studio. She's occasionally a little bit late. I'll quickly do an update before I take off on the involuntary outpatient commitment stuff that has really frightened me, and I think a number of people properly so. It's being considered in California, I guess, in January and February. When combined with the Needles on Wheels program, it's quite a serious thing. It means if you don't take your meds, they put you in the hospital, is fundamentally what it means. They can essentially forcibly medicate you and then dump you in the ward if you don't accept these medications. And here's the latest from the internet on that issue. There is a full-scale attack on the rights of people with mental disabilities throughout the nation. The goal of this campaign is to expand forced mental health treatment. Current California law, the Landerman, Petras, and Short Act, allows involuntary commitment of people who, as a result of a mental disorder, are in danger to themselves or others or are gravely disabled. And we'll have to talk about this more next time because we're being invaded by the chickens and we are going to have to get chicken and get out of here.
You got 1 minute.
And I think I'm going to actually give you 30 seconds of that minute.
Woo-hoo.
To take over the scene, man. Come on back next Thursday. Bathroom Spears Broadsides will return. And until then, stay with us on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Thanks for being with us. You guys got tapes, or shall I babble on a bit here?
I'm going.
No,
going,
there's
going,
no
going.
Way to stop these two, going. Man. They are deadly. So hang with them.
They say you taught me how to talk, but you wish you taught me how to stop. You're far away now. This